It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Representative Gary Tauchin has revived his bill from 2007. It's aimed to change the winner-take-all electoral system in our state. Instead, he wants to have Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes divided up, assigning one vote each for the winner of each of our 8 congressional districts. The 2 remaining votes, they will go to the statewide winner of the popular vote. Do you think this makes sense, or would it create more problems? 800-642-1234. Gary Tauchin is a Republican who has represented parts of Brown, Wapaka, Shawano, and Outagamie County since being elected in 2006. He's a dairy farmer in Bonduelle. Representative Tauchin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
You've brought back this bill in the Assembly that would change how the Electoral College votes are awarded here. Explain what you're proposing in this.
Sure. I just want to state up front that there is no perfect bill, and this bill is no different. There's pluses and minuses to it. Essentially, what we're looking at with this bill is an alternative distribution of the electoral votes, and this system is called the Congressional District Method. And it moves away, as you mentioned, it moves away from the winner-take-all method. The congressional district method instead allocates each vote based on congressional districts, and the winner from the congressional district gets that one vote. And the winner of the statewide election is awarded the 2 remaining votes. So there's 8 congressional districts. And depending on how the election goes, the winner of those would take that electoral vote. And then the final 2 would go to whoever wins the popular vote. This system has been in use in Maine since 1972 and Nebraska since 1996. And it would apply to the general presidential election and not apply to partisan primary elections. So it's essentially for the presidential election. And we have a lot of political views and a progressive history in the state of Wisconsin, and this alternative system probably better reflects our diverse political landscape. So I brought this bill forward to look at different options. Of course, any bill that gets through the legislature has a lot of work ahead of it. So this bill is no different, but I think it's got some advantages in that depending on your political views and the areas you're in, the people that live around you are very, very supportive. And I think it would take some of the animosity out if a system like this were in place. And so that's basically the bill.
Representative, you know, critics say your proposal would only amplify the gerrymandering problem in our state, taking it to a national level. It would only worsen our map drawing conundrum and make it more problematic. What do you make of that argument?
Well, as I said, there's pluses and minuses to any bill. I think that this bill, I guess I look at it just the opposite. I think if people believe there are irregularities in the electoral system, I think that it puts up a firewall so that if there are problems or perceived problems, people will feel more comfortable that their vote actually counted in their area. So I think it's one of those things that's controversial. There's no gimmies in this, but it's a system that I think has some potential for our state.
Let's bring in John now, joining us from Appleton. Hi, John, go ahead.
Yeah, the problem with the system is that it takes gerrymandering and extends it from the congressional district level up to the presidential. And since we're going to go through probably a whole bunch of lawsuits and stuff trying to get the districts redrawn with regards to the census, it's just a bad idea. I would have a much better idea. The principle is much, that was not my idea, but and the principle is very simple. One person, one vote. That whoever carries the state, once enough states are won by the electoral college system, then it goes to basically who has the most votes nationally.
John, thank you. Representative Tauchin, you know, what do you make of John's comment there with one person, one vote?
Well, that's essentially the popular vote. So we have the electoral system in this country, and it makes all of us relevant. If you go to the popular vote, you could just have New York, Florida, Texas, and California vote, and the rest of us wouldn't have input. So I'm not fond at all of the popular vote. I think we need to stay with the electoral system in one form or another to be able to make us relevant. So,
well, if you really want proportionality, why don't you propose allocating electoral votes according to the statewide popular vote breakdown? If each candidate wins half the total vote, they get half the electoral votes, etc.
Well, there's a lot of different options, and you need to find a legislator that'll move forward with something, because that's the system we have in the state. We have to go through a legislator that believes there's an opportunity to improve the system. That's why we're all here. We're trying to make people's lives better in the state of Wisconsin. And as I said, there's no perfect answer, but I think this has some opportunity, and we'll see if we're able to get support from the other legislators in Madison.
Talking with State Representative Gary Tauchin, a Republican who's represented a central Wisconsin district since 2006, we're looking at his bill that would change how the Electoral College votes in Wisconsin are allocated away from the winner-take-all system. With your thoughts on this at 800-642-1234. George is with us from Monroe. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Hi. How about combining this in the same bill with nonpartisan redistricting commission and pass them both together? Is that a good idea?
Representative Tauchin, yeah, attaching this to, as George said.
It's controversial on both sides, so I think it's a lot easier. It's challenging enough getting one thing through without adding the other. I wouldn't suggest that would be a good way to move it forward. I think both need to be run independently.
So if Wisconsin had followed the system you're proposing last year in the 2020 election, President Trump would have received 6 of Wisconsin's electoral college votes. Joe Biden would have received 4, even though Biden had more votes overall. In an editorial, the Washington Post says your proposal is aimed at siphoning off electoral votes in a state where Democrats have done well in recent presidential elections. What do you make of that?
Well, we're a purple state, so we usually, whoever wins, generally wins with about 20,000 votes. So it's a very tight race. The Democrats the last time the Republicans won was 1984, and then, of course, President Trump. So, but there's a lot of money that's being spent in this state, and that's one of the reasons that people are challenged to be able to move in this direction, because just for the presidential election, there's $100+ million that gets spent in the state of Wisconsin, and passing a bill like this would probably have less presidential visits and vice presidential visits, and cut the funding that comes into the state of Wisconsin. So So from that standpoint, it's a negative, but on the positive side, we wouldn't have so many advertisements. So it depends on your point of view from that perspective.
Let's bring in Paul now in Eau Claire. Hi, Paul. What is your take?
I was going to say that I think this is a good idea. We would have the election results before everybody went to bed. They wouldn't be waiting for the final numbers down in Milwaukee or wherever else to see how many votes they need to have to win.
So Paul is saying this would be a more efficient way to get results more quickly, Representative Tauchin.
Right. The areas that have challenges getting the numbers, I think it would be quicker. Also wanted to point out that there is that firewall. If there's a problem in one district that is taking a day to get the results, at least the rest of the electoral areas would be able to have their numbers counted. So I think there's some potential for a positive from that perspective.
I want to ask you a personal question here. You publicly last month said that you do not intend to seek re-election when your term is finished. What is behind that decision? And is there any attachment with that decision to this bill that you're proposing?
No, I've been in the legislature for 14 years. It'll be 16 by the time I hang this up, and I'll be 69 years old. So I think after 16 years, it's somebody else's opportunity. And I wanted to let people know early so that they could prepare, because I spent a couple years in preparation when I ran for office. And we certainly want the best person available to have the position. So I wanted to announce early so that people weren't bothering me about running again. so that they understood this was my last term, and good people could get involved, and hopefully we get a really, really good person to run and represent our area.
We're talking with Representative Gary Tauchin. We've been looking at a bill to reallocate our state's electoral votes. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the financial situation of dairy farmers. Are you a farmer? What do you want the state to do to help address the financial crisis hitting dairy farmers? Is your farm going through bankruptcy? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Representative Gary Tauchin, a Republican from Bondwell and a dairy farmer. Bankruptcies have ripped through our state's dairy industry. The overall number of farm bankruptcies declined in 2020 compared to 2019, but filings are the third highest over the decade, and Western Wisconsin continued to lead the nation, reporting the highest number of new filings last year. Are you a farmer who filed for bankruptcy or had to shut down your farm? Did you sell off acreage? What led to that decision? What should lawmakers know? 800-642-1234. Representative Tauchin is with us for 10 more minutes. You know, you have a personal stake in this as a dairy farmer. What do you see in these bankruptcy numbers from 2020?
Well, on the front end, I just want to say that agriculture is very, very important to the state. It's the number one economic driver in the state of Wisconsin, over $105 billion. So it's important that we shore things up when there are challenges in the industry. And as you mentioned, we have more farms than any other state, especially dairy farms, but that's dropped off considerably in the last few years. We generally have lost about 15% a year through history, it's been more challenging lately. We had about 6 years of declining incomes, real challenges. So people really worked hard to cut expenses and to try to maintain or get as much revenue as they possibly could. So the industry is very challenged, but it really is important that we make sure that we recognize that cow numbers are very important too. There's been a lot of growth in our industry, which started in 1993, and we're able to weather the storm on a statewide basis because of the cow numbers. Each cow is worth about $36,000 in economic activity, and we've been able to maintain between 1.3 million cows in the state out of the 9.3 million that we have in the country. So we're number two to California, but we have many small and medium-sized farms along with large farms, which it bodes well for the state of Wisconsin. That diversity is a good thing, and it helps shore up our rural communities with economic activity in those areas. So, so we're going to continue to be challenged. 2020 would have been a year that agriculture did exceptionally well. With the farm support program that the governor had and the PPP on the federal level, there were a lot of farms that were able to weather the storm. That was very, very helpful. But others are restructuring in order to be able to survive. So I think this is different than the last set of bankruptcies we had 2 years ago. So it's not going to be easy. We're going to have some work to do, and hopefully we'll get some policy decisions that are helpful to the farming community.
What policies do you want to see pushed through here as lawmakers look at what we need to do to help farmers?
Right. So under the Walker administration, and it was finalized under the Evers administration, the Dairy Task Force 2 worked to develop a lot of different recommendations on legislation that we needed to push through. And quite a few of the legislators came through with pieces of legislation which would have been implemented had not COVID-19 hit. Unfortunately, we were able to get a lot of bills through the assembly, but then COVID hit, and before the Senate could take it up, and they adjourned. So a lot of those bills that were in the proposals last session because of that have been well vetted already, and I'm expecting that the governor is going to implement those or many of those. I'm expecting too that in the assembly and the Senate, we're going to be moving forward with some of the policy issues like labeling bills that were out there, dairy, milk, and meat. So if it doesn't have a good fit in the budget, I'm expecting that we're going to move forward with policy bills in the respective agricultural committees in the legislature.
If you're just joining us, we're talking proposed legislation, we're talking policymaking with State Representative Gary Tauchin, who's a Republican, represented a central Wisconsin district since 2006, taking your questions as well about policymaking in dairy, in COVID, 800-642-1234. Representative Tauchin, earlier this month, you and other Republicans voted to overturn Governor Evers' emergency order on the pandemic, which required people to wear masks in indoor spaces. Why do you oppose the mask mandate?
I don't. It's the governor's overreach that I oppose. After 60 days of emergency, calling an emergency declaration, he's supposed to come to the legislature and work with us to develop the next phase. And he doesn't do that. He just moves forward, ignoring both the courts and the legislature. So that's the part I oppose, and that's the reason I voted to end that overreach. the masks, I think, are one of the tools that people have for protecting themselves. I think social distancing, people staying home when they're sick, I think is very important, and washing hands. So it's all common sense things, but I don't know why the governor didn't include all of those things if he was just going to include the mask mandate. So there are issues that need to be dealt with, and hopefully the governor gets the point and starts working with the legislature, because that's part of the process. Otherwise, the people don't have a say.
Yeah, you know, the partisan rancor among the chambers and the Evers administration is causing people to wonder what is going on. Can you tell us anything about the prospects of finding common ground on a COVID relief bill?
Well, we tried to move it forward. The governor vetoed a bill. He was supportive of some things and not of others. So there's going to be legislation moving forward that's going to piecemeal it. And I think it's important for people to be able to go to church, to get people back to school. This isolation is having a tremendous impact on people's mental health. And there's just so many areas that we feel strongly should be included in that. So the governor's either going to pass those bills or veto them, and we'll find out how he stands on each individual one.
Representative Tauchin, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's much appreciated.
State Representative Gary Tauchin is a Republican, has represented a central Wisconsin district since 2006. He's a dairy farmer in Bonduelle. Just ahead, we have a tax analyst with tips on how to file your returns this year. What questions do you have about the pandemic and how they may have complicated your tax situation? Share your specific questions on tax season, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.